Attention to Isaiah, the 60th chapter. My children used to get up every morning when they were going to school with my wife singing this first verse. Arise and shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Amen. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people, but the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. Oh, I'm telling you, this whole world is dark, but there's a light that's emanating from God's church. I drove home late last night, and I went through our subdivision. There wasn't one house that didn't have lights on their lawn and their trees and their house. You know, their electric meters look like fans, you know, because they wanted to demonstrate that they believe in Christmas. Amen. And then if you would turn to John, the 8th chapter. In verse 12, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Aren't you glad that God put a light inside of us? That, you know, in the middle of the week, you can open this book, and all of a sudden, there are things that are illuminated to us that other people just don't see. I remember taking scriptures that seemed so plain to me and taking it to somebody and wanting to show them, and they looked like I was talking in a foreign language. Because God reveals things to us through his light. Amen. 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, and verse number 4. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Oh, hallelujah. You got a light shining inside of you. Amen. We walk in the darkness all of the time. There's probably not a person in here who hasn't been approached by somebody saying, where do you go to church? There's something about you. Because there's light, Holy Ghost light, emanating from us. That's the way it's supposed to be. Amen. Lord, we ask your blessing, your touch, your anointing upon your word. Allow us to be edified and refreshed by it. We're grateful that you inspired it, but even more so that you kept it for us. It's all in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. At this time of the year, people want to wrap up love. They want to express their love with packages. I mean, this year they say they have broken all records of billions and billions of dollars that have been spent, and really for one purpose, to exhibit or express their love or admiration or kindness to someone. Well, isn't that what Jesus did? All of his love was put in one package for each and every one of us, but somebody has to unwrap it, you see. Isn't it amazing that there are all these people with all kinds of beautiful lights and decorations that don't even go to church? Don't even believe in God, but they believe in Christmas. Oh, hallelujah. According to Isaiah 9 and 6, that sun came as a gift to each and every one of us. Philippians 2 and 6 says, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of man. God wrapped up in a package for each and every one of us. Nothing is sadder than to have a package that hasn't been opened. Merry Christmas, world. Wise men still seek him. The greatest gift that man could get was free, but not free at all. It cost the life and the suffering of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm so tired of people who say they want to be politically correct. I'm irritated by it, folks. So it's happy holiday or winter holiday. No, it's Christmas. The only reason to celebrate, the anointed flesh of Christ came to save us. Somebody's got to stand up. Somebody's got to say, it's all about God. Hallelujah. For God so loved the world, everybody in the world, that he gave his only begotten son or flesh, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You can recite the whole Bible and still not know the truth. This is a time to focus on our Savior, the miracle of his birth, and for people to bow down to a tree of Calvary and open the gift of salvation. We have to get to that place where we humble ourselves before God. I also read today in an article that said we are to the point where we are so proficient as churches that we say, come forward and get the Holy Ghost. Well, it can't happen that way. It should be come forward and repent. Amen. You see, you can't really get the real Holy Ghost until you get to a place of repentance and deciding, I'm not going to live the way I used to live. Amen. Hallelujah. Come on, flop in the boat. We won't even clean you up. It has always amazed me that even heathens and atheists celebrate Christmas. You know, the darkness comprehendeth it not. Glory to God. We are celebrating the birth of our Savior of the world. Jesus is the reason for the season, not trees, not gifts, not parties. Amen. Jesus is the gift that keeps on giving day after day. It's not just one day a year. Hallelujah. If you received anything this year, you got it from the Father of above. All good gifts, according to James 1, come from above. If you got a good job, God gave you some brain cells. Hallelujah. This is a season of lights. People sacrifice and energy bills to make their house light up. And recognize that, you know, there's even competition now between people, you know, who can have the greatest display of lights. Wouldn't that be great if we had competition in the church? Who could display Jesus better than anybody else? Amen. Would you turn to Luke, the 11th chapter? Anybody going to preach with me tonight? Amen. Luke 11 and verse 33. No man, when he hath lighted a candle, putteth it in a secret place, neither under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that they which come in may see the light. All right, let's break this down. Anybody that's got the Holy Ghost that doesn't display the Holy Ghost to somebody that's around them is not doing what God wants them to do. The light of the body is the eye. Therefore, when thine eye is single, thy whole body also is full of light. But when thine eye is evil, thy body also is full of darkness. Take heed, therefore, that the light which is in thee be not darkness. If thy whole body therefore be full of light, having no part dark, the whole shall be full of light, as when the bright shining of candle doth give thee light. Perhaps we should have that competition. Who shines the brightest? Who is willing to let their light shine? Now, our kids sing the song, Let My Little Light Shine. You know, what about the adults? Glory to God. Spare no expense. Let your light shine. Amen. Talk to a neighbor. Talk to somebody on the job about this season. There is no time that people are more open than right now. When God saved us, he turned each of us into a lighthouse. A Jesus star, if you will. Something that people can follow. A celestial body of believers. We function like a natural lighthouse, giving direction to those that are lost at sea because of darkness, because of storm, because of situations in their life that nobody else can take care of. And according to Luke 11 and 34, when our eye is single or the whole body is full of light, when we're really excited about living for God, it has to shine out somehow. I said this a couple of weeks ago. There's a lady I taught a Bible study to almost 40 years ago. She lives up in Managua right now, and she always sends little cards. My wife sent her a letter this week. Lovely lady. In fact, they just started a church up in Managua, and I'm hoping that she's going to be able to be a part of that. But when I first started teaching her, she was a next-door neighbor, and she would say, you know, I've heard you talk about a lot of things, but when you start talking about God, there's something about you. You just kind of light up. There's an energy that emits from you. You know, that shouldn't happen just when we're new converts. It should happen right now. Hallelujah. Amen. Some people can win souls just by walking into a room because they are so fixed on God that they emanate the Spirit of God, that there is a light that radiates from them like a lighthouse. Most of the time, we don't even realize that we are different than any other house in this world, but people see it. They really do, especially those who are looking for it. Last Friday night, my wife was one of the last ones out of the church setting up for the cookie walk. And as she was leaving, there was a truck on the parking lot. And she saw it was just parked there. She didn't recognize the truck, but she drove home, and our house is only a little ways from here. By the time she got to our driveway, God said, go back and talk to the man who's in that truck. So she drove back, rolled down her window, and said, can I help you? He said, hey, I'm not here to do any harm or anything, but my wife just said she wants a divorce, and I wanted to go someplace close to God. So I came to this church. And she said, well, you know what? You've come to the right place. Tomorrow morning, we're going to have prayer. And Sunday, we're going to have church. You know? Tears streaming down his face. Saturday morning, he was here. Sunday morning, he was here. Sunday night, he was wearing a shirt and a tie. This morning, he was here. You know why? Because God drew him to light, a place where he could get what he needs. There was something within him that says, get me to God. How many people are out there that are screaming, get me to God. I need something that no one else can give me. Hallelujah. Now, Hanukkah is the festival of light celebrated from December 20th at sundown to the 28th at sundown. It is the 8-day celebration. Each night, one candle is lit on an 8-branch candlestick called the menorah. And Jewish people celebrate that. Each night, a candle will be lit. And each night, there will be songs and gifts and special foods for Hanukkah. And the word Hanukkah means dedication. It marks the time of the 2nd century BC when the Jews came out of captivity and were to rebuild and rededicate the second temple. You know what we're doing? We're rededicating this second temple. This first temple was headed for hell, folks, but the second temple has to be rededicated and refreshed all the time. We're celebrating Hanukkah as well as Christmas. The enemy once had that temple, but the Jews got it back. A second life, a born again, according to Jewish history, when the Jews regained the temple, they found enough oil to keep the lamp lit for one day. But it burned for 8 days. And that is why the menorah has 8 candles on it, and they celebrate Hanukkah for 8 days. Every day, a new candle is lit. In John 10 and 22, Jesus celebrated Hanukkah, the festival or feast of dedication. John 10 and 22 says, and it was at Jerusalem, the feast of the dedication or Hanukkah, and it was winter. Now listen to this. The feast of dedication or Hanukkah was for re-cleansing of the temple. It was the Feast of Lights and Celebration. It was observed on the 25th of the 9th month of the Jewish calendar, making it December 25th. The foundation for the Festival of Lights is found in the book of Zechariah in the 4th chapter. It talks about a golden candlestick fed by the oil of 2 olive trees. We're talking about Holy Ghost oil here, folks. It was a symbol of the time when the church would light up the world. Jesus is coming back, folks. All you have to do is read the paper. You don't even have to read this book. All you have to do is read the paper if you believe in dead tree media. God is showing the church, I'm coming soon. It was an encouragement to Zerubbabel to rebuild and to cleanse the temple. The rebirth of the church has to happen now or it never will. We need to get to the old landmarks. We need to do the things that happened 40 years ago when I was saved. They're not out of date. They're just out of fashion. My God. I tell you what, Friday I was in a grocery store and a couple came up to me and said, hey, Brother Schumacher, how are you? They were someone who took care of our kids when they were little when we went to Israel for 16 days and I couldn't recognize them because they didn't look like they were in the church at all. And I went home and I was grieved. It's time for a rededication. It's time for a cleansing of the church. It's time for us to have a Hanukkah, if you will. Hallelujah. The word of the Lord came to Zerubbabel in Zechariah 4 and 6. And here's what it said. Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, say the Lord of hosts. This church is not going to be built on programs. It's not going to be built on singing. It's not going to be built on whatever we can create. It's going to be built based on the Spirit of God that's going to move in here. And people are saying, I don't know what's going on there, but I want to be there. Hallelujah. Did you know that, especially at this time of the year, we are the light of the world? And God wants us to finish the rebuilding of the temple. That's you and that's me. It would have been a tragedy if someone just built that second temple halfway or just didn't have service in it. And it'd be a terrible thing if you just got halfway sanctified and then the trumpet sound and you wouldn't be a part of it. Amen. I have a mandate from God that every temple in here has got to be finished. I know there's going to be some resistance, but we're going to be a church that is going to go up in the rapture, folks. It won't be because of our strength. It won't be because, well, I'm just determined. No, it's going to be because you got under the visitation of God on a regular basis, and now there's a light that is emanating from us that empowers us, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Amen. By his Spirit, we are the light of the world. Amen. Turn to Zechariah, the 4th chapter. Chapter 4, and starting verse number 1. And the angel that talked with me came again and awaked me as a man that is wakened out of his sleep, and said unto me, What seest thou? And I said, I have looked, and behold, a candlestick, all of gold, with a bowl upon the top of it, and 7 lamps thereon, and 7 pipes to the 7 lamps which are upon the top thereof. And 2 olive trees by it, one upon the right side of the bowl, and the other upon the left side thereof. So I answered and spake to the angel that talked with me, saying, What are these, my Lord? Then the angel that talked with me answered and said unto me, Knowest thou not what these be? And I said, No, my Lord. Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, Not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. So what God is saying is, I want to build this church. I want to finish the temple. And it's only going to be by my Spirit. I believe that God wants to add to the church daily such as should be saved. But I believe it's got to be a church that God is pleased with before he adds to it. Amen. And then will you turn to Revelation chapter 1, verse 13. Verse 12 says, And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw 7 golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the 7 candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head, and his hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as flaming fire. We're talking about Jesus standing in the midst of 7 candlesticks, making it 8, like the menorah, if you will. Chapter 2, verse 1, Unto an angel of the church of Ephesus write, These things saith he that holdeth the 7 stars in his right hand, hath who walketh in the midst of the 7 golden candlesticks. Brother Portman read a scripture last Sunday night that just affected me so much. Isaiah 4 and verse 1. It says, And in that day 7 women shall take hold of one man, saying, We will eat our own bread and wear our own apparel, only let us be called by thy name to take away our reproach. In these end days, there are going to be people who are going to say, I'll do what I want, I'll read what I want, I'll wear what I want, but I want to be under the banner. I want that name of Jesus, And it just doesn't work that way, folks. What about making this Christmas the same theme as what the Bible says, the feast of rededication and cleansing of the second temple of God? God, this year, I want to get closer to you. I want to be more sanctified. A festival of lights, yes. Celebration of Jesus, yes. But also a rededication of our temple to Him. Oh, hallelujah. I love that new convert attitude. Pastor, just tell me what I need to do. You know, there's some thought that, well, we got to let people be in the church for 2 or 3 years, and then we'll gradually tell them what they need to do. When is a better time than when you're filled with the Holy Ghost and excited about God? When is a better time to teach your kids, when they're young or when they're teenagers? Now, we become offspring of Jesus when we're filled with the Holy Ghost and we get the gift of salvation. We then become part of a celestial body, a body of lights, if you will. In fact, would you turn to 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter? Now, verse 39. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of man, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, another of birds. There are also celestial bodies and body terrestrials, but the glory of the celestial is one and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, another glory of the stars, for one star differs from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. We're talking about us. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised in a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. Hallelujah. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam, or Jesus, was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy, and the second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy, and as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthly, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. And in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. But there has to be a change here first. Glory to God. We become a star for Jesus. If we could only see in the spiritual light how we are special, we are stars, we are ambassadors of Christ, the world many times doesn't see the difference, but heaven looks at us differently than heaven looks at anybody else in this world. I don't normally like stars, people who always have to be the center of attention. That doesn't get God's attention. These really aren't any stars. There shouldn't be stars in Pentecost. There are some shooting stars who come in and then they're gone. But we receive a lot of attention from heaven. But if we receive a lot of attention here, sometimes it causes us to be vulnerable because of pride goeth before fall. We are offspring of the bright and morning star, Jesus. this is something I found interesting. Webster defines a star as a luminous celestial body consisting of a mass of gas held together by its own gravity. You know, the Holy Ghost is the breath of God. A current of air, if you will. So the Holy Ghost in us is the breath of God that is held together by the glory of God. It goes on to say it's energy generated by nuclear reaction in the interior is balanced by the outflow of the energy to the surface. In other words, if there isn't an outflow of the energy from the inside of the star to the outside of the star that produces a light, the star goes dark. The inward directed force are balanced by the outward directed gas and radiation and pressure. And so what God is saying is we have to somehow have a flow from the inside out in order to be what God wants us to be, a celestial body of believers. Stars are the most visible bodies in the universe. They are relatively stationary, usually twinkling points of light. Jesus is also the Father of lights, the Bible says, whether people understand that or not, every light they display at this time of the year is an inherent display of gratitude for the coming of our Savior. I don't know why I put all of these lights out. I don't know why I've spent... Because there's something inherent in you that says, we're celebrating you, Jesus. Jesus is the light giver. He gave the sun, the moon, and every star light. And he has given each and every one of us a light and energy. We don't do this because we just decided we're going to live for God. He has put an energy within us. It's not by power, it's not by might, but it's by my spirit, saith the Lord. But there has to be a flow of that spirit out of us in order to really shine and get the attention of those who are in darkness. And every child of God becomes the light of the world. The devil has nothing to do with any light. He loves darkness. John 1 and 4 says, in him, Jesus, was life, and the life was the light of man, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. They don't understand us because they haven't had the experience that we have had. You know what keeps most of us is the miraculous, the experience that every one of us had in speaking in a heavenly language and the power that drives us to be more like him. This year, I feel like if we rededicate the temple that God lives in, we will be a greater light to this world. Our energy or source of light comes from the power that is within us, and like the stars, it is balanced by the outflow of the energy that we produce by our witness. It's the tree of life in the middle of the garden. This world needs more light, not just what we can plug into, you know. Outside our houses, well, that's great. But there has to be something that's generated from the inside of the church. Christ in you, the hope of glory. We need a greater display. You know, the Marquardts this week put two Christmas trees out, did a lot of work in doing that. They look so gorgeous. It draws people. It really does. But there has to be a greater display from us, you know. This time of the year, so many people are open. They're open. They're looking. Yes. Amen. Could we be the light? Could we be that celestial body that God endues with power. Amen. Glory to God. Would you stand with me, please? I can order 50 books on revival. Everybody has a different idea of what will bring revival. There's probably 100 evangelists that will come and preach revival. But you know where revival really starts? It starts in the heart of every individual in the church. When everyone is on the same page, when we have harmony like we heard tonight, all of a sudden, people will be coming up to us and saying, "Where do you go to church?" And that's the kind of church that God wants. He's already been dealing with hearts of people all around us. Amen. We just have to shine, shine, shine. We're already plugged in, folks. Amen. The altar is open. Would you come?